Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Things are a bit quieter on Sundays now that the NFL season is in the rearview mirror. It has been 2 months since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl to close out the 2020-2021 league year. Assuming that they do take place this year, it will be 4 months until we even see preseason games. For football diehards especially, there could very well be this fog being wandered through, with the question being asked, well, now what are we supposed to do? Similarly, in the church, Easter Sunday itself is behind us, although we are still in the Easter season, but it doesn't really matter what time of the year it is or isn't in the church for us to know now what we are supposed to do. In fact, we all have our marching orders, our spiritual game plan, if you will. Specifically, in the New Testament, we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 42, that He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that He is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. So now, friends, ask yourself again, still nothing to do on a Sunday? Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been the president and executive director of the Alabama Baseball Coaches Association for more than 20 years, and he is the president of the Association of Catholic Coaches and Athletes, which he formed 10 years ago. He played, coached, and umpired baseball at the collegiate level, and at one point even traveled to England, Germany, Brazil, and Nicaragua as a Major League Baseball International envoy coach to teach and promote baseball. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Barry Dean.
Hey, Bruce, I appreciate you having me on, and it's an honor to be here and to be a part of your show.
Thank you, Barry. Great to have you here. You are a cradle Catholic, and wow, from that introduction, it sounds like baseball has probably been with you all your life, too. Did you get started into the sport as a kid, meaning probably playing Little League?
I did, Bruce, at a very young age, even before I could play in a league here in Montgomery, Alabama. My dad was playing catch with me in the backyard, and he was a big baseball guy, and he coached. I remember being a bat boy on St. Bede's Catholic Church, where I attend now. I was a bat boy for his team, and my two older brothers played on it. And that was one of the fondest pictures I have on my wall, is my dad and my two older brothers and myself in our uniforms. And me being a little bat boy would just fire my eyes.
I got to tell you, I wish this was a video podcast so people could see, so I could hold my arms up to the camera. The hairs are actually standing up on my arm. I'm getting chills hearing you say that. That's a great father-son memory and something that you've obviously held on to for a long time. And one of the important pillars that I stress in this Catholic Sports Radio ministry of mine. And similarly, Barry, just like my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, you too obviously saw that faith and sports can go together, as evidenced by your having formed the Association of Catholic Coaches and Athletes 10 years ago. What made you decide to organize that and also share with the audience what that organization does?
How I came to form the association was I got into the CDs of Lighthouse Catholic Media. I got into Matthew Kelly's Rediscover Catholicism, read that book back before I had my reawakening. As I had my reawakening, heard his CD, The Seven Pillars of Catholic Spirituality, and heard that CD, which is kind of his cornerstone CD, and read the book. And every year I go to the American Baseball Coaches Association National Convention. And I started, we had mass celebrated there one time a few years before, back many moons ago, it was in Philadelphia. It was celebrated by Ray McKenna of Catholic Athletes for Christ, and it wasn't celebrated after then. So I said to myself, after 3 or 4 years, you know, that when it wasn't celebrated just that one time, I asked the ABCA, you know, can we have Mass celebrated? And I'll get the priest, just give me the room in the hotel, kind of like Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They always do a breakfast at the American Baseball Coaches Convention. Mm. It got me the room. I got the priest. And I got the book. I got Matthew Kelly's Dynamic Catholic to donate a lot of the, about 100 Rediscover Catholicism books in that CD, Seven Pillars. So I started, I gave those out at the convention. Mm. And the wheels and the coaches were appreciative of it. And I remember putting signs up, my little maid, you know, I typed them out on pieces of paper, computer paper, and I put them up around the hotel. I think we were at the Opryland, because every 4 or 5 years it goes to the Opryland, the American Baseball Coaches Convention. It goes all around the country. But the Opryland's a common stop. And I was putting them up on the walls where, you know, you weren't supposed to put stuff in those high level hotels. They don't want you putting stuff just anywhere. So I'm like a little, you know, just running around like a little madman, sneaking them up here by the escalator and by the, you know, room where they go in. I mean, this is huge. A convention's, you know, 4,500 coaches, you know, baseball coaches, all kind of face or non-face. But I'm putting signs up everywhere, advertising the Mass. It was funny. And I got the priest there, and on my own, I already had him preset up. But it was just, that's how, and the wheels started spinning. This is 2011, mm-hmm. when my wheels just started turning of having forming an association and what to name it and making it a 501c3, so where we could have a little more meat on the bone. So when we host it in the hotels, you're not just hosting it, because, you know, the ABCA, you want to just to form the association. Now you have an association like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is wildly successful, mostly Protestant. So I'm saying, let's form this association and then start doing more. And I had a vision way down the line of holding camps, all sports camps, Catholic camps for kids, and just all kind of things that went along with that. But the Mass was the number one thing, and I got it in the football convention, American Football Coaches Convention, and I helped with it at the Final Four as well. Wow. Someone's already hosting the Mass there.
Wow.
So it just kind of, the juices just started flowing 2011, January at the Opryland Hotel when I did that first Mass.
Fantastic, fantastic. And then with the other hat that you wear, President and Executive Director of the Alabama Baseball Coaches Association, even though that's a secular organization, clearly your Catholic values are at play in your role with them because of the outreach that you do with the Miracle Leagues of Alabama. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
I've woven a lot more ministry into the Alabama Baseball Coach Association, way more than the Miracle League. That's 2011. Once again, a friend of mine invited me down to the Dothan Miracle Leagues, which is a couple hours from Montgomery. His son, he's a former college coach, and his son was severely disabled mentally and physically. And I saw the Miracle Leagues. This is for disabled children or adults to play baseball. It's all synthetic turf fields, founded in Conyers, Georgia, the league was, and Alabama's just gone nuts for it. We've had about 20, just over 20 Miracle Leagues in our small state of Alabama. But it's just a beautiful mission of where they can go out and play baseball, the disabled children and adults, mostly children. But I got hooked in 2011, and I was already doing a dinner for the Alabama Baseball Coach Association to raise money for the little four $1,500 scholarships we give. Well, I diverted it immediately after 2011 into the money going to the Miracle Leagues around our state to sponsor outfield signs or teams or people who are building fields, maybe to give them a little more than maybe $15,000 or $20,000 as opposed to $500 to $1,000 for a team sponsorship or outfield. And I get teams to join me when I go to different leagues and volunteer for a game. I always go the last three springs, not COVID spring, but the last three springs before then. I'll go to all the leagues, active leagues like 15, and volunteer. Yeah, I love doing it. And I'll see the people who I'm sending the checks to. Love being out there with the kids. And then I'll have some high school or college teams to join me. And I'll take videos of them, the kids and the coaches volunteering. And it's very impactful.
Wow.
This year we're bringing in Tom Glavin, Hall of Famer, Atlanta Braves.
Wow.
To Montgomery, May the 3rd. Usually it's in January, but I did push it back for a little COVID relief, which is looking to pay off. But last year had Gaylord Perry, Jack Morris year before, Dale Murphy the year before, Dale Strawberry, Doc Gooden. I've had some great guests.
Fantastic. Now, fantastic.
Real quick. Association-wise, baseball coaches, I'm starting to weave in, giving out the book, Not a Fan, very strong, Are You a Fan or Follower of Jesus by Kyle Idleman. I gave that to all the kids who came to our event last year. We did do our event during the summer last year. Over about 300 kids from all around the state of Alabama, underclassmen, high school players. I gave out Not a Fan, and I had a Protestant minister, a friend of mine who's a former high school coach, give a talk on Not a Fan. Very, very good Christian faith-based book about are you a fan or follower of Jesus. I have a man come down from Birmingham who's formerly, he has a pornography ministry. He's formerly addicted to pornography, and he gives a talk to all the kids on pornography, and their parents are in there too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you get any pushback from people when you're handing out these books of people saying, hey, we're here for baseball, don't bring religion into this, or are people pretty receptive to it?
Very good question, Bruce. I'm blessed to live in Sweet Home, Alabama. That is more of a faith. It's obviously the kind of the center of the Bible Belt, kind of the buckle of the Bible Belt, as they say. There's no doubt, even in this state, there's very there could be atheist or agnostic or non-Christian, however you want to call it, in this state. Overall, baseball players, the kids coming to our event, and I think their parents overall are very faith-based. I have not had any pushback. I don't doubt. Sometime I will. Mm-hmm. When you talk pornography to 300 kids, it's two different events, a JV event, 9th and 10th graders, a varsity event, 11th and 12th graders. So we have two separate events. But when you talk a total of 300 kids and the parents, one or two could be in there in the General Assembly, I've never had, and I don't doubt it's going to happen, I've never had a negative email. Mm. I've never had a negative comment face-to-face.
Fantastic.
Now, I haven't had a ton of positive comments, but that that kind of tells me that it's having, they like you doing it, but it's an awkward
sure,
topic.
Sure.
But I've told them at our General Assembly, when I welcome everybody to our General Assembly each summer, I said, look, guys, and I'm going, they'd see it on the itinerary, the different talks from arm care from an orthopedic surgeon or a trainer, the arm care for baseball and time management when these kids are going to college, as they will be in 2 or 3 or 4 years. And we have all these different talks. And there may be a dating for marriage or pornography, however he wants to term his talk. But I've told the parents and the kids right there, I said, look, guys, I know you may be asking, what the heck are we talking about pornography at a baseball event?
Okay.
Or Not a Fan giving the books out. I said, but pornography, you guys are perfect candidates. Mm-hmm. 15, 16, 17-year-old young men, athletes, you're aggressive. The girls are chasing you nowadays at your age. You may be chasing them, blah, blah, blah. Everything's going on. Pornography's on your phone everywhere you want to get it. So why not talk to you guys about it? Because it's for your future success. Yeah. And I'm more worried about not as baseball players, but as husbands and fathers.
Yeah. Well,
it's a great time to hit you with it.
And to back up to the part about giving out the books, God bless you for your devotion and for your courage and your boldness. And listeners, if you've been with me for a while, you know that that's something I've talked about before, that we have to be bold in our faith. And this is the way that we have to evangelize. We can't hide our light under a bushel. And it's just like I said in my ministry moment, he commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. So Barry is testifying here on this episode of the boldness that he's showing in his faith to say, I'm fortunate that I'm in a part of the country where I don't really get any pushback. And so he is taking that step out in his faith and handing out these books. And so, you know, Barry, now that we're starting to hear these examples of the way you're living out your Catholic faith, I want to ask you, have you always been this inspired, or was there, say, some event that took place in your life that got you so fired up?
Sure. Let me say the one thing. If I was not in a part of this of the country that's not as this more faith-based, I believe I would, and I pray I would, if I was getting crucified somewhere else. Mm. And I'm not saying I haven't had pushback, even, you know, with people, I guess, sometimes at other different places, because I travel a good bit. But, you know, I'm still going to pray. You know, I pray before our events. I pray before our board meeting. And I will do other things around the country that I hope and pray I would not back down if I was getting the pushback.
Outstanding.
The other thing about, there's no doubt, as a cradle Catholic, there's plenty of times I've gone through the motions. Punch the time clock, check the boxes, yearly confession, and just all the basics sometimes, the minimum you can get by with. I've definitely done that. When I was 45, I guess September, October 2010, right before I had my reawakening, someone came into my life. I was dating a young lady who was extremely devout in her faith, and we just had a great connection. And she's the one that gave me the CD, Seven Pillars of Catholic Spirituality by Matthew Kelly. And, you know, I put it in my glove compartment. I drive a truck. It's a Toyota, so it's not your. Don't think of too bad of a hot rod down here in Alabama, a redneck beat up truck. It's a Toyota, so they still don't get that. They don't include me too hard in the truck group down here in Alabama. But you know, I had it, and it's very hard to kick George Strait out of your CD player. But I did. A couple weeks later, riding down the road, I kicked George out, and I put the CD in. And I'll tell you, Bruce, Seven Pillars of Catholic Spirituality by Matthew Kelly. I listened to it and I laughed and it was informative. And, you know, he has that way of, if your listeners know who he is, some of them I know they do. You know, he's very engaging and informative, not real deep theology, but really good stuff about the faith. I've given that CD out countless numbers of times. Cause it's just a good thing to get people back to the faith and kind of maybe spark their interest to learn more about the faith if they're thinking about converting. But I listened to that, and then my brother, who's a priest, Father James Dean, I told him about it, and of course he was kind of laughing, and he goes, yeah, I've got several other Matthew Kelly CDs he gave to me, and one of them at the end of the CD had a promotion from Lighthouse Catholic Media. About if you want to hear some more CDs, you visit us at lighthousecatholicmedia.org, whatever, the website. And man, I got on the Lighthouse Catholic Media, and that's where it started with this CD to get the Rediscover Catholicism book. This was late 2010. So I get the Rediscover Catholicism book. That's the answer I had to give you before. I get the, you know, CDs, more of the CDs of Seven Pillars. That's when I gave them at the convention in January, the baseball convention, when we had mass for the first time. That's where that came to fruition.
Okay.
But then it led me to Lighthouse Catholic Media, and oh my gosh, that was insane. Father Larry's confession CD, which is off the Father Larry Richards, which is off the charts. And I just started getting for confession. I mean, it makes you want to go to confession instead of most Catholics running from confession. I mean, there were so many CDs, Jeff Cavins and just got Dr. Scott Hahn. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and more Matthew Kelly CDs. And all these speakers were just blowing me away when I ordered them. I was trying to get priests in Montgomery to get the Lighthouse stands in their churches. One of them, Holy Spirit, already had it, but it was in the side, over by the side by the bathroom. I said, no, let's put it in the vestibule when they walk in. I mean, I was just nuts. And anyway, and then I made a Curcio that spring in 2011 after the convention in January baseball, where I gave the books out, gave the CDs out, had that mass held. In March, I go to Curcio here in Alabama. A good friend of mine who went to daily mass with me, sponsored me. And that impacted me more. The fourth day impacts me, but you know, I just, all this was kind of coming at one time, and it's just funny. In May, I go to a Curcio meeting of the Altrea. My buddy who sponsored me, I was so on fire when I came back, which I was already on fire. I was already on fire from the CDs, not really from Curcio. Mm-hmm. But I went to a regional meeting in Alabama of Curcio, you know, Altrea, as you know about Curcio, people who are in the secretariat and all that. He said, why don't you go to that? Just listen in. And I'm sitting there in this meeting in Greenville, Alabama, in between Montgomery and Mobile, where we kind of met in our archdiocese. And I'm sitting there, and there's 15 people in there who are all, you know, Curcio kind of head honchos. And we take a break, and I turn to the woman right next to me, because I got in there just a little late, so I just slipped in and sat down. So we take a break, and I turn to the lady next to me, and I'm telling everybody about these CDs. Everybody. Mm. Have you heard about these CDs? You know, Matt, you know, here's some. She goes, she's from Mobile. She's in the Curcio, obviously, hierarchy. She goes, she's the Alabama rep for Lighthouse.
Mm.
So she goes, I need a rep in Montgomery. You're the perfect person. Wow. And I'm already trying to get priests to get CDs in the stands. It was just, I mean, the Holy Spirit was absolutely just working me overtime.
Mm. Amazing.
And it was just very, and then I got more involved with the Lighthouse Catholic Media. You know, I'd go to their retreat up at Mundelein Seminary of all the reps in the country who were invited to it. And they had great speakers, Jason Everett and, you know, all these other speakers. Some of the Lighthouse speakers would come talk to them up there. And Father Michael Gately he was a retreat master a couple times for us up there. I mean, geez Louise. I mean, but at Mundelein, beautiful campus in October. Oh, it was just, so I'm, you know, it just, of course, I'm getting the cart before the horse, I guess. But a lot of that just kind of, it just started, just one thing led to another.
Yeah, and I want to jump in here because, listeners, you've heard me say on a lot of episodes that the Holy Spirit is really moving in these conversations that you hear each week on Catholic Sports Radio. And it's no coincidence that just last week, my guest was Bishop Paprocki from the Chicago area, And where did he go to seminary? Mundelein Seminary. So here's Barry talking about Mundelein Seminary, and it was just talked about a week ago. And it was also on last week's episode with Bishop Papraki when I mentioned that we should continue to seek wisdom, be it through a book or a podcast. And now again, a week later, here's Barry talking about books and CDs that were a real, real, real important part of him getting reinvigorated in his Catholic faith. And Barry is even more involved with the Catholic faith than we've talked about so far, which you'll hear some other initiatives that I'm going to ask him about. But before we move on to all that, I've said it before and I'll continue to say it. Thank you so much to everyone who listens to this show. It means so, so much to me that you make time for my ministry each week. Even if listening to a 30-minute interview doesn't seem like much to you, it encourages me and it tells me that there's a place for what I'm doing here. So thank you. And as I said at the start of the show, do please help spread the word so that more people, Catholic or not, by the way, can listen and be inspired by the stories that my guests share each week. Of course, besides just telling others about this, the other way you can help me is with a contribution to help offset all the costs that I have to take on personally to do everything involved with running this Catholic Sports Radio ministry, especially since I am just one person doing all the work myself, and I don't get any income from this, and I don't have any sponsors. I mentioned this in the past, but for every one, say, 30-minute episode of Catholic Sports Radio, there's actually about 5 or so hours of work that goes into it between booking the guest, writing and conducting the interview, doing the editing, the post-production, and then releasing and promoting the episode, not to mention other administrative tasks, plus keeping up the website, the social media accounts, and more. I've detailed a lot of my expenses over many episodes of this show, and you can help me out by contributing through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. So in other words, there's no drop-down menu of amounts, there's no minimum. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website and ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Either way, I sure do appreciate everyone who contributes. On past episodes, you've heard me saying names of people who have contributed, and I will happily even say your name too when you contribute to this ministry, or I can give you a public thanks via social media. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Barry, it appears as though at one point in time you were attached to two different parishes up there in Alabama. Explain to the audience what that was.
Sure. I was going to St. Peter's, downtown Montgomery. It's the second oldest parish in the Archdiocese of Mobile, to the cathedral down in Mobile. And beautiful, beautiful traditional church, a little cathedral, and just gorgeous. My mom and dad were married there way back in 1959. And the priest there was actually a year behind me in high school, who turned out to be my main confessor. And just really enjoyed him. You know, I know it's not the church. I know it's not the priests. It's the Eucharist. It's the sacraments, wherever you are, wherever we are. And that's the blessing we have as Catholics. But there's no doubt a beautiful church like that that I like, a traditional, gorgeous-looking little cathedral, and the priest that you know well, gives good homilies. And there's no doubt that that does play into it. So I was down there. I only lived about a mile from St. Bede's where I grew up. But I enjoyed going down, and I actually started going, Bruce, to daily mass at St. Peter's when they had it at 6:30 in the morning. And it was just so beautiful, so quaint, so in the cathedral there in the morning. There was only a few people there, and it got so low attended downtown. It's a downtown parish now. It got so small attended down there. I had to, I started going back to, they actually cut it out. And they have 12:10 mass down there, the downtown, as many downtowns do, a noon or 12:10 mass. But they cut the 6:30 mass out. So I started going to St. Bede's because I like the morning mass. Okay. Sometimes I go to 12:10, but I went back to St. Bede's at 6:30. And so eventually I was led back to St. Bede's full time.
Okay.
After going to St. Peter's for a while, but then going back to, I started doing the daily mass more at St. Bede's. I said, okay, let me, and I lived only a mile from there. I said, okay, well, let's move everything back here.
And so, listeners, you're getting a more and more fuller picture of Barry and his devotion to the Catholic faith. I mentioned just before the break there about some other initiatives. And if you have read the Meet the Host page in the About section of CatholicSportsRadio.net, you know that I made my Curcio weekend in October 2019. And Barry was talking before about the fact that he made a Curcio weekend as well. And do I understand, Barry, are you still involved in the Montgomery Curcio and Altrea community?
Yeah, I'm very involved. And it's, yeah. Actually, it's called the Mobile Curcio because that's our archdiocese. But yes, the Montgomery Altrea. My group is the big deal. You know, the fourth day, as we call it, you know, the retreat is a three-day retreat. And the fourth day is the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And the retreat was good. I was already crazy on fire those 2 or 3 months prior to because the CDs were kicking in and rocking my world. But when I got back from Curcio, the fourth day, when you group with guys, women group with women, guys group with guys who've made a Curcio, and to this day, I still group, you know, 10 years later.
Fantastic.
It's very powerful, grouping every week. As you know, Piety, Study, and Action, the tripod of what you discuss, how you've done the past week of Piety, Study, and Action. Great accountability. If you had a bad week, maybe you're inspired by the other guys in your group. You get ideas. We're all, you know, we'll text links about Catholic stuff or text this about Catholic stuff to each other and during the week. And I'm going to tell you, the Baldwin County down by Mobile across from Mobile, Alabama, has some really strong Christians to me. And when I'm down there doing business and seeing some friends, Christ the King's a beautiful church in Daphne, and I'll group with guys down there. Wow. When I was grouping with those guys, you know, because now I work Curcio, Bruce. We have a fall Curcio in Mobile and the spring Curcios in Phoenix City by Columbus, Georgia, Alabama. And they ask you to work them if you want to. And I've worked. So I met a lot of the other Curcios around the Mobile Archdiocese, which is from Montgomery to Mobile. And one that I was grouping with the guys down there a few years ago at Daphne before, like at 6 o'clock before the 7 o'clock daily mass. And I knew the guys from working Curcio. And I love grouping with other guys. Sometimes we have a good time. And one of them said, "Hey, man, have you heard about the silent retreat in Manresa?" Which I had heard from another Curcio brother down there around Mobile. I said, "Yeah, I've heard about the Manresa silent retreat." And Joe, someone else mentioned it to me. They said, "Well, you want us, because it came up during the grouping. And it is phenomenal, Bruce. I'll tell you and any man in this country, the silent retreats in Manresa in Convent, Louisiana, on the banks of the Mississippi in between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, 51 weekends out of the year. You go your same weekend every year, 111 men, and it's sold out every weekend.
Mm.
And there's a waiting line. It's the most popular, successful Jesuit retreat house in the country. Phenomenal.
Oh.
You hear 11 talks, one Thursday night when you start, 4 Friday, 4 Saturday, and 2 Sunday morning. Go to Mass every day. So I just made my 5th year, and it's in mid-February, my 5th retreat. And but that was another offshoot of Curcio, and just what one thing led to another, the CDs, the books, now Curcio, and now Manresa.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, because before you were talking about the two different parishes that you were attending to, but actually one of those two, and then an even different church, a third church, you started a Men of St. Joseph chapter at. Explain what that is.
Yeah, that was founded in Mobile at St. Ignatius, a very, very, I'll say affluent. They just raised $17 million for a new church. That's some serious money. But it started at St. Ignatius. Five men were doing a little weekly, Catholic men were doing a weekly Bible study. And a priest, Father Chuck, he sat in on the group some and urged them to form an organization. And they formed Men of St. Joseph's. And kind of the backdrop was to discuss the upcoming Sunday gospel and read the upcoming Sunday gospel. And then he would talk about it really from the heart, not theologically and not getting too deep in the weeds there, just for the everyday man, everyday Catholic to meet before mass. I mean, before like Tuesday, Wednesday during the week.
Mm-hmm.
It can be morning time, early or nighttime, whenever you work it out for your group to be there. And then just read the upcoming Sunday gospel and discuss it. And other guys can have input and then go home and share that, being the spiritual leader of your family, like St. Joseph. Go home and share that, share the gospel, read it, let them read it, you read it, or whatever, and then everybody kind of give their input for the gospel, just to become familiar with the gospel.
Mm.
Not that you're going to be a theologian and this, that's not the point. The point is to go ahead and read the gospel before, and then hopefully you're more engaged at Mass on Sunday.
Fantastic.
And instead of just sitting there falling asleep during the homily, or you don't listen to the readings that well, now you've read, especially that. And Matthew Kelly talks about that, about reading the gospel before Sunday. But Men of St. Joseph's, I haven't checked lately. If you go online, Men of St. Joseph's, it's in like, I think, over 100 parishes around the country. And it's really made a difference, I think, with a lot of men. If you really get in there, and doesn't have to be 30, 45 minute session when you meet and do it. That doesn't have to be long. So we went down. Father Chuck was here in Montgomery, who helped found it in Mobile, kind of with those five men. He helped them steer them in the right direction. Father Chuck knew me and knew I was really kind of fired up of all I was doing. He goes, "You need to bring a chapter up here." Hmm. And I didn't do it at first. And then a couple of the guys in Montgomery wanted to help me with it. So we just set a chapter up at St. Bede's, where I was going at that time. And then also Holy Spirit is a little newer, kind of a little younger family parish out in East Montgomery, in a more growing area. St. Bede's is still a strong parish, but a little older with some families. But so we took it out. After being at St. Bede's, the group got pretty strong, and some guys were coming, you know, several miles over across town in Montgomery to St. Bede's. I said, "Well, let's start one at St. Bede's," because that's kind of the idea, to get them in different parishes.
I see.
So I just helped kind of form it out there at St. Peter's and get it off the ground. That's terrific.
Well, last question, but definitely not least, because, wow, this one we can't leave out. You also started a prison ministry 7.5 years ago.
I did not start it. My brother, Father James Dean, has been doing prison ministry for years.
Oh, okay.
And he probably snookered me into this. His backdrop is he probably snookered me into it. At the time, he was outside of Montgomery, but he had when he was in the Montgomery area, Troy, Auburn, Montgomery, he went to prison ministry 11 years every 2 weeks. So twice a month, he would go to prison ministry at Staten Prison right above Montgomery. And he came home one time, and you know, he wasn't going regular because he wasn't in the Montgomery area. He's stationed in another parish. He said, "Hey, I'm going to prison ministry." It was right around Mother's Day. So he goes, "It was like on a Monday night. I'm going to prison ministry. You want to tag along with me? You can go." I said, "Yeah, you know what? I will. Let's go." Mm. And he had never brought it up before. And I said, "What the heck? I'll go." Because I'm used to, you know, when you coach college baseball, you're used to being around some guys that may be inmates one day. The kids are coaching. I'm kidding. Anyway, but so, you know, you're in that, but you're used to the locker room. You know, you're used to that kind of don't get me wrong. Yeah. These are inmates. These are prisoners. I respect that. But I didn't fear it. I just didn't. Most people are like, "Prison ministry? Are you kidding me? I'm not going into a prison." Well, I tagged along with him, and he just said, "Look, I'm going to hear confessions." He'd go out, and we had a room. It was a faith dorm when you went in there. So you went into the faith dorm. There's like two or three classrooms in there. You got Mormons over here, and you got non-denominational over here, and blah, blah, blah. And here's a Catholic classroom. Mm-hmm. So he goes, "You just stay in the classroom when I go." He told me when he went up there, and then I'm going to go hear confessions in the hall. And, you know, these guys would go to confession. The several that were in there were pretty faithful because they didn't get him all the time. So they better grab him when he's there. Mm-hmm. Of course, he hadn't been there in a while because he was out of this area at the time. So, but they loved my brother. The Catholic inmates up there loved him because he was so dedicated for 11 years. And he's really good for teaching the faith, my brother is. Mm. So he was outside, and I'm sitting there in the room with, you know, 15 guys who are inmates. Mm. And he just said, "Talk to him," and just, you know, and I did. I really felt comfortable. And so I just talked to him and shared a little bit. They asked me about myself and shared a little bit with him about myself. And so, and this was after Curcio and after the light, obviously after the CD. So I'm fired up. Mm. And then there's a deacon who is a Curciista in the Mobile Archdiocese who was kind of over the prison ministry for the Archdiocese. I knew him from working Curcio, and he knew I was fired up. And he stayed in touch with me and kept nudging me to be a prison minister, mm-hmm. you know, because they needed more lay people to go in there and be prison ministers. And they were really struggling for some priests in the area to go in there to the different prisons as well around the Montgomery area. So I did it. I finally did it. And went to a little training session. Every year you got to go get certified by the who certifies all the ministers in Montgomery, like a non-denominational thing, but it's faith.
Okay.
But I go every year. Since COVID, we haven't gone, you know, we've been shut out because of COVID. But I take CDs up there and form.org, you know, Augustine Institute's another, Dr. Gray and them are killing it. I take some forms, you know, on baptism, the DVDs they have, the sets they have, and on confession, and on marriage. Oh, they're beautiful, man. I take those up there and watch those in the classroom and take CDs up there and
fantastic.
Listen to them, and take other material. So
fantastic.
So that's kind of how it's, and I have actually preached that big time to a lot of different people, especially men and women that do Catholic ministry, to do prison ministry. And I've had a couple of people come in. Everybody else, I think, says no way, and I'm not doing it in a million years. But I've definitely put that out there in the Montgomery area.
Well, yeah, and I want to say that, you know, for people who are listening that are saying, oh my gosh, you were in the room with all those people. Weren't you nervous? Weren't you afraid? You know, how did you know what to say? Now, number one, you heard Barry say that, you know, he was on fire for his faith at that point because of the CDs, because of the books, because of the Curcio. But again, listeners, it's really trusting in the Holy Spirit. And I know that he didn't even say it, but I know that's what Barry did, is he trusted in the Holy Spirit to move in him, to give him the right words to say, even if it was just a soft introduction of, I'm a baseball coach, you know, just to kind of as an icebreaker, but I know he worked his faith into it. So trust in the Holy Spirit. And like Barry said, you don't have to be a theologian, but if you allow the Holy Spirit to work within you, you will have the right words for these types of conversations, and you will be able to evangelize and hopefully move more people a little closer to their faith. In the meantime, Barry, I really want to thank you for coming on Catholic Sports Radio. Really great testimony, and I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much for making time for this.
Hey, Bruce, I'm honored to be on, and I wish you much success with this program. I think it's a great ministry you have going, so God bless you and all your work.
Thank you so much. And listeners, we will close with a prayer as always, and do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to compete and use our talents through sports. Remind us that we are called to give our best and to finish the race while caring for others along the way. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.